Today we're going to be in 2 Kings. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6. Going back to the Old Testament today. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the title of today's sermon is, What Axe Heads Do You Need Help With? What kind of axe heads do you need help with? 2 Kings chapter 6 is where we're going to be. And as you're turning there, I just want to ask you something. I wondered if you're like me. Have you ever read scripture in the Bible that just made you stop in your tracks? I mean, have you ever just read something in the Bible and you thought, did that just say what I think it said? I mean, you ever read anything that just was mind-boggling to you? I think over and over as I read scripture, I find all kinds of mind-boggling things. I see things that are just so amazing that only God could do them. They're miracles that could only be performed by the power of God, and they just blow my mind. And one of those things is like Peter walking on water. I remember the first time I read that, I thought, did he really walk on water? I went back through there and I read that again. Think it's possible to walk on water? Maybe he had special shoes. Read through it again when I was an adult. Well, sure, he walked on water. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was floating. As soon as he turned away, the boy started sinking. Man, that's amazing. You ever walked on water, Lorraine?
No.
No? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, sister. Just kidding. There's some things in the Bible that you read and they just grab your attention, you know? I remember reading the story about how, well, I guess there's a couple of them I want to share with you. One was a story about Jonah and the large fish swallowed him. I read through that and I thought, boy, I've done some fishing and I've caught some pretty decent fish in my life, about 6 inches or so. I know that's nothing compared to you guys that fish in the river for those catfish. That's a record fish for somebody like me. But can you imagine being swallowed by a fish? And if that wasn't bad enough, he got vomited up. I mean, that's serious. That's serious. Then you read the story, another story that just almost blows your mind, almost just outlandish, so hard to believe. But yet, if you believe what the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, he could do anything, right?
Yeah.
You read this story about Balaam and his donkey in Numbers chapter 22. That's one that's always been there for me. I just thought, boy, what does that mean? And I mean, you're reading the scripture about Balaam. He gets up in the morning, he saddles his donkey, and he's getting ready to go on this trip. And God does not want him to go on this trip, but he's going to go anyway. So you ever been stubborn like that, right? God tells you not to do something, but you do it. Balaam, he's the same way. He saddles up this donkey. He's going to go on this trip. He's got his servants coming up with him. And the next thing you know, this donkey stops, and it won't go any further. And so what does he do? He does what any good American would do. He takes that leash and whoosh, he whips that donkey. I'm not saying that you should be doing that, but that's what he does. Whips that donkey. The donkey looks at him. He gets back on the donkey. The donkey stops again because the donkey sees this angel of the Lord. But see, Balaam can't see that. And so what happens is the donkey stops again. Person gets off the donkey. Balaam, what's wrong with you? Goes again. Donkey starts going again. Then the donkey stops again. He's like, oh no, that's it. He gets up and he really whips him good this time. And then what takes place is this donkey, the Lord opens his mouth and he says, why did you beat me 3 times? That's pretty weird. I don't know if you think that's weird, but I think it's weird. Amen. But that's not what happened. What happened is Balaam and his donkey started to get into an argument. Now, I used to argue with my dog outside. My dog would go, raw, 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 and I would tell him, you shut up. Stop talking like that. Raw, raw. Why are you arguing with me? Raw, 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 all the time. But he never mentioned the words, why are you talking to me, Alan? I would be pretty scared. You know what I'm saying? So there's some things you read in the Bible that are just mind-blowing. They're just miracles that take place. They're just things that happen that they stop and get your attention. And folks, I'm telling you, if you haven't spent time in your Bible lately, you need to read the book of 1 and 2 Kings. You'll see all kinds of great things that happen, all kinds of awesome miracles. I'll talk about a few of them today. But right now, I want to just focus on this one in 2 Kings chapter 6. So I want you to see this with your own eyes so you're like, don't think your pastor's making up stuff. Because this is the truth. This is what God's Word says. Listen to this. It says, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, said, see now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place that we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I'll go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, well, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick, and he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up yourself. So he reached out of his hand, and he took it. You ever seen a chunk of metal float before? That's pretty impressive. I mean, I had to read that a few times. I remember back in the day, the first time I read it, I said, iron float? Well, that doesn't happen. I mean, I've seen a lot of things float in my life. I've seen leaves float on the water. I've seen sticks float down the stream. I've seen garbage float down the river. I haven't seen dead fish in my own kid's aquarium float before. But metal? I've never seen metal float before, let alone an axe head. That's got to be heavy. How in the world could that happen? Well, I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few seconds. But before that, I just tell you, if you have time, you should ring 1st and 2nd Kings, because you're going to see miracles that are just like this one that are just going to make you wonder, wow, this is the awesome God that I serve. Look at all the amazing things he can do. Elijah was a great guy. He had a master named Elijah with a J. And this person performed all kinds of great miracles. There was one day that Elijah and Elijah were walking. And as they were walking, there was this chariot of fire driven by some horses that were afire. And they kind of split apart these two. And once they split apart these two, they took Elijah and they took him in a whirlwind and took him away to heaven. That's right, he's one of the people in the Bible that never died. He just got taken to heaven that way. And if you want to read more about that, that's in 2 Kings chapter 2. That's pretty exciting. But Elijah himself, even though his master was gone now, he did some pretty amazing miracles too. Some things that you may not believe that I'm going to tell you these, so I want you to go back and read. But here's what it said. Early in his ministry, Elijah made some water rush down a dry creek, and he fed three kings' armies with the water. Pretty amazing, right? Yeah. Then he took up the cause for a widow who was about to be sold into slavery. She was about to be sold into slavery with her kids. And he said, well, we got to do something about this. So he took her small jar of oil and filled enough jars to pay off all their debt. And then, if that wasn't enough, there's this Shunammite woman's son that was dead. And he lay down on top of the sun and brought the guy back to life again. And this is the prophet we know as Habakkuk. So praise the Lord for that. Then later, Elijah, he goes on to purify this pot of deadly soup. And he purifies it and makes it so that it's edible to feed a bunch of people who are hungry. If that wasn't enough, Elijah takes Naaman, a guy who had leprosy, and cures him of leprosy. Folks, this is all in the Bible. These are all great things that you can read about. So this prophet, he was amazing. He was able to do some pretty great things through his Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. And so here in 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, we read about this Elijah guy. And he's got this group of believers. There's so many believers that they can't fit in the area they're worshiping anymore. There's just too many people. So what are they going to do? Well, they do what we did. They started a building campaign. But instead of raising money with kettle corn, they decided to cut down the trees themselves. They were going to make their own building. And so that's what they chose to do. So as they're doing that, they go down there. They got their axes. They're chopping up the wood, going to town, you know. And before you know it, the axe head flies off this guy's handle and poop, there it goes. Whoops. I mean, this person, he was in the right place. He was at the right time. He was doing the right thing. So why did this axe head fly off? That just doesn't seem fair. You ever been in a situation like that? You're doing the right thing. You're in the right place at the right time and something bad happened to you? Yeah, I wonder why did this happen to this guy? And so let's see how they handle this situation. In 2 Kings 6, 5, it says, but as one of them was cutting down a tree, his axe head fell into the river. So let's start with axe. What would you do if you lost the axe head in the river? Oh, well. You'd be like, oh, well, yeah, that's one option. What would you do, Faith? Jumping after it? Yeah. Well, that could be exciting. You never know what you might find, yeah? Back what's another option? Huh, Larry?
Back to blue stem.
Back to blue stem. That was what I was thinking. If I lost the axe handle, you know what I'd do? My head of my axe flew in the bottom of this dark, dreary river. I'd go to Blue Stem, True Value, Sutherland's, and probably in that order. And I would find myself a new axe head and put it back on there. But back in their days, they didn't have blue stems. They didn't have a hardware store around every corner. So they couldn't do that. And remember, this axe head was borrowed. So like Mike said, well, if it was my axe head, I might just leave it down there. Hey, maybe it'll start a coral reef in the river. Who knows? But it's not mine. It's borrowed. So I got to replace this thing now. And how am I going to do that? Well, normally you'd say, who cares? Just an axe head. Well, back in the day, 3,000 years ago, a metal axe head was precious. Somebody had to hand make that. It wasn't something you could just go to a store and buy. So this wasn't just a small problem. It was an absolute disaster. But you know what? Axes had a design flaw back then. I think axes, personally myself, I think they still have a design flaw. I've cut down many things with axes, and you know what? I've had the same problem. The axe head flies off. And so back in the day, they had the same problem too. There was this design flaw. There was a problem. You say, well, Pastor, you weren't alive 3,000 years ago. I look good for my age. What are you talking about?
There you go.
So, yeah, I wasn't alive back then, but I knew it had a design flaw because there's scripture that talks about axe heads flying off too in the law. And so if you look at Deuteronomy, it talks about an axe head that flies off. Listen to this. It says, if someone kills another person unintentionally, without previous hostility, the slayer may free to any one of the cities to live in safety. For example, suppose someone goes into the forest with a neighbor to cut wood. And suppose one of them swings an axe to chop down a tree. And the axe head flies off the handle, killing the other person. In such cases, the slayer may flee to one of the cities of refuge to live in safety. I mean, that's what it says in Scripture. That's Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. Says, hey, if you happen to be chopping wood in the middle of the forest and my axe handle flies off and cuts Brother George's head off, well, I mean, I didn't mean to do that, so I'll just leave George there and I go to one of those cities of refuge. Wow. So these axe heads, they could be a problem. So then I said, well, how are these axe heads even constructed? What do they even look like? So I used my friend Google, because, hey, that's a great resource. I mean, I guess you could go to the library too, but that's so like last century. So I used Google and I started searching, what does a 3,000-year-old axe head look like? And so I had a lot of problems trying to find a decent picture. But if you look in your bulletin today next to the sermon title, you'll see one of the best pictures that I found. And so if you look next to your sermon title, you'll see that. So what that is, that's just a metal axe head that's bonded to the wood tied by a strap. Some kind of animal strap or some type of leather strap that they would use to be able to bound that. And so you can imagine that as that thing would get loose, that as that axe head was being used, as that binding would get loose, that it could come apart and it could fly off and hurt someone. And so, yeah, so that's kind of what I figure. Well, I guess that's what must have happened back then. And some people might think, well, the kid's axe head flew off because he was being careless. Well, not necessarily. Maybe he wasn't being careless. Maybe he was being careful. Maybe he was working alongside Brother Bill over here, and he could have chopped wood towards Bill, but if the axe head would have flew off there, it would kill Bill. He didn't want to kill Bill. They already made a movie about that years ago. Wah, wah, wah. So what he did instead is he took the axe head and he might have been aimed towards the water so that as he's chopping that wood, if the axe head flies off and it goes into the water, it doesn't hurt anybody, right? And they don't have to make Kill Bill too. So I'm telling you, he was thinking about things. And if you're anything like me, you've lost stuff before, right? I've lost keys. I lost my wallet before. I've lost money before. I've even lost my own kid before. Josh was hiding in a cabinet and I couldn't find him. It was pretty scary. I mean, Thomas understands what this is like. He lost his wallet going to visit his mom last week. It's a terrible feeling to lose something that you need. So this poor man, he loses his axe head. But you know, in life, sometimes we lose things that are more important than just those tangible things. Sometimes we lose things that can't be replaced. They're precious. Like, think about it. Many people lose years that they don't spend well. Some people lose relationships when they don't take care of them. Some people lose peace when they don't trust. And it's hard to put a price tag on those pieces of evidence. But you know, when this man lost his accent, it was concerning to him. So let's see what they did. 2 Kings 6:5 says, "But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe fell into the river. Oh, sir," he cried, "it was a borrowed axe." So not only was the guy upset because the axe head's gone, but now it was a borrowed axe head. Have you ever borrowed something from somebody and broke it? Have you ever borrowed something from somebody and lost it? You fear when that person's coming by, don't you? That person coming by like, "Hey, brother so-and-so, you got that hammer I let you borrow?" He's asking you in church, you're thinking, I could tell him no, but that's a lie. I could tell him, yes, I do have it, but it's in two pieces. But then he may kill me, but then we both be repentant at least. Or I could tell him the truth. I just avoid him. I'll go down that line. I've been in that situation before. You let somebody borrow something, and they break it, and they give it back to you. "Well, I'm sorry, Pastor. Here you go. Here's both pieces of it." I mean, what can you do? Things happen, right? But it's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling to know this is something that somebody else gave you. You didn't have your own, or you wouldn't have borrowed theirs, and now they trusted you with it, and you broke it, and you lost it. So this is a big deal to this person. It may not be a big deal in our century to lose axe head, because like Larry said, you just go to Bluestem and pick up another one. But back then, this was a big deal, an absolute huge deal. So this brings us from talking about the axe to the ask. So what does the guy do? He's in this situation, he lost his axe head, and now he's worried about it. And so what he does is he tells Elijah the problem. He says, "I lost my axe head. Flew off in the water." Now think about this for a minute. Think about this. He says, "Here's my problem, and I need some help." Maybe he was venting because he was frustrated. Maybe he was just telling the truth, like, "Hey, I lost this thing, George, and I need some help." Maybe he was telling Elijah because he thought, "This is the man of God. If anybody can help me, it's going to be this guy. He's a man of God." We don't really know why, but we do know something. He didn't tell him how to fix it. Huh. Isn't that interesting? So often what happens when we have a trouble, when we have a problem in our life, what do? We go to God and we say, "God, check this out. God, I got this problem. This person's sick. They're not feeling well." And so we could stop right there, but we don't do that. We say, "So Lord, what I'm thinking we need is some great medical people. We could use some good medicine, or maybe you could just heal them. I mean, those are three options, God. Pick from any one of those. I'll be good with those." But you see, Elijah, he doesn't do that. The man who lost his accent, he doesn't do that. He just says, "Man, I got a problem. This borrowed accent flew off and went into the lake, went into the river. I need help." Now, I don't think he would have told him he needed help if he could see it. If it was shallow water and he saw that axe head, what would he have done? He would have went over there and picked it up. No reason to tell anybody. Hurry up, put it back on the axe head, tie that up. Nobody will ever know. But it was dark. It was dreary. He couldn't find it. And so what he did is he just asked the question. He just told him, "Hey, I got a problem. Can you help me?" I wonder if it would be amazing if we tried to do that in our prayer life. How much different would your prayer life be and my prayer life be if instead of us telling God how to fix all our problems, if we just told God, "We got a problem"? I mean, don't tell him how to fix it. He's God. He created you and everything else on this earth. You don't think he can figure out a couple ways to help you? Isn't that funny? But in our ingeniousness, we take this and we say, "Well, God, I got this problem, and here's a couple ways to fix it. So if you could do that by 5 o'clock, Lord, I'd be very thankful. And I might even praise your name in church tonight." Why don't we learn from this guy? Lost his axe head, and all he did was say, "Hey, I lost this thing in the water." And so what happens after that? Well, we look over here and we see the answer is what Elijah says is interesting. He says in verse 6, he says, "Well, where did it fall?" The man of God asked, and he showed him the place, and Elijah cut a stick and he threw it in the water at that spot. And so what happens, I imagine, is like this. "Man, I lost my accent. It was over there." "Well, where was it?" "Well, it was over there." And then Elijah grabs the stick and he's like, "Over there? Yeah, it's about right there." He's like, "Oh, okay." And the thing floats up. And then what does he do?
Walk out again.
Now, Elijah, he could have done anything, right? He could have made that axe head, if he could make it float from the bottom of a river, he could have pulled it up and laid it at that guy's feet.
Right.
He could have took it and he could have magically attached it back to the axe handle if he wanted. But he didn't do that. He made it float. And then what happened? Well, then in the next verse we read that the man of God said, "Where fell it?" He showed out to the place. He cut down the stick, cast it in there. The iron did swim. It came up. And in verse 7, it says, "Grab it," Elijah said. And the man reached out and he grabbed it. So the man had to also do something. The guy who lost the axe head, he had to do something. He didn't just depend on Elijah to do everything for him. Elijah said, "Oh, it's right there." Whoop, floated to the top. And he said, "Now grab it." And so the guy's like, "Hey, thanks, man." Grabs the axe. Puts it back together. Good to go. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
It's interesting from the fact is that Elijah wanted the guy who lost the axe head to own part of the problem. He wanted him to help with part of the solution. So many times in our prayer life, we pray and pray and pray and want God to perform all these great miracles, and we want him to do all the work from start to end. We're like, "God, I don't have a job. I need a job. Please, Lord, help me with a job. I need a job." And we sit down, play some video games, watch some TV. I'm like, "What's up? The phone is not ringing. Well, maybe I need to pray again. Lord, I need this job. Please help me with this job." "All right, let's watch the next thing on Netflix. Man, this phone is not ringing. What is going on? Why am I not getting a job?" That's kind of what we expect. But that's not the way God works. God wants you to pray about that job you need. Then he wants you to build a resume. He wants you to go apply for it. He wants you to knock on doors. And he wants you to do the best that you can do too. Just like in this situation, right? The person loses the axe head. Elijah, the man of God, makes it float. But he says, "Hey, buddy, you lost the axe head. Go grab it." And he goes and grabs it. Interesting, huh? Ron had a problem with a tooth. Still dealing with it. "Man, pray for me. This is some of the worst pain I ever felt." And so we pray for him. We pray, "Man, God, take this pain away from this man. Help him so that he could get some sleep at night. Direct him to a place that can fix this problem." But if that's all we did, Brother Ron would still be here with a 10 out of 10 pain, holding his jaw with a bad headache. So what does Ron do? Ron says, "Thank you for your prayers, Pastor. Thank you, church, for your prayers. I'm going to go find a dentist that God gave the gift and the skill to fix this problem to." So not only was it prayer, but it was also directing him to another man who had the gift to be able to help him. I knew a lady once who had glasses. She said, "I'm not wearing my glasses anymore. God's going to heal me of my vision. I'm not wearing them anymore." She set them down. She started having these bad headaches. She's like, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I got these terrible headaches. I know God's just going to fix my vision, but he hasn't done it yet." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, I kind of think he has. He gave you glasses, and that fixed your headache problem, and you could see." She said, "Really? I never thought about it like that." I'm like, "Yeah, God already helped you. So maybe just we can learn something from this person. That not only when we pray, we don't just ask God to do all the work, but we put some work and some effort into it too. Amen?
Amen.
Now, to the average person getting this axe head, losing an axe head, getting one back, it wouldn't be a big problem. But for him, remember, this thing was handmade. This was 3,000 centuries ago. Somebody took that steel and they worked it for a long time to be able to make it valuable. So it was a big problem to them. The man couldn't retrieve it by himself, or he would have. He couldn't cut down the trees without it, or he probably would have pretended he didn't lost it. But when you don't have an axe head, how good is it beating this tree with a stick? It's not very good, and you look really funny doing it. So he didn't do that. He said, "I need some help." And the Lord helped him. Now I wonder for you, how many axe heads do you have that are lost down deep in the dark, miry clay in the river that you're trying to drown yourself going to get them on your own? You're not asking God for help. You say, "Well, I see it down there," and you're like what Faith said. "Well, if I lost my axe head, I'll dive in there and go try to find it." Well, she may drown trying to find it in the river. And you might be drowning in whatever axe head you lost right now. What problem are you trying to solve instead of asking God for help with? You know, maybe you're like me. And you say, well, God's got so many big things going on in the world today that he doesn't have time to deal with my little problems. You know, God is trying to cure the AIDS epidemic in Africa. He's trying to take care of the cancer problems in America. He's got sex slave trafficking problems in Asia. Persecutions of Christians all over the world. We're on the brink of war. He wants to spread the gospel everywhere. How is he going to have time to solve my little petty problem? Well, the thing is about the Lord is, he cares about that little petty problem in your life because he cares about and he loves you. And if that problem is such a little petty problem, then why does it keep you up all night? Why are you stressing out about it if it's just a little tiny problem that doesn't matter? Well, because it is a big problem. It may not be big when you compare it to curing cancer all over the world, but it's a big problem to you if it's causing stress in your life. So what kind of little axe heads do you have out there floating around or sinking in the river? My question to you is, who are you trusting? Are you trusting in yourself? Or are you trusting in God with your problems? So you ask, well, Pastor, what is more important? Dealing with the cancer epidemics and AIDS epidemics and all the persecution of Christians all over the world, or solving my little problem about how to figure out how to pay my electricity bill? Solving my little problem about how are we going to build this new flat sanctuary? What is more important, Pastor? There is nothing that's more important. They're all of the same importance to God. Why? Because he loves every single one of those people that are going through those trouble as much as he loves you. You know what God is doing? He's watching us as our axe heads fly out of control. All these problems we have, they fly out of control towards the river. And he's waiting for us just to take our problems and our concerns to him. Not to solve our problems, not for us to try to solve them, but just to take them and say, God, I have this problem. Won't you help me? And I can guess God's wondering, why do we go out ourselves and try to replace them? Why do we go out ourselves and try to swim and save them when we can't do it? So I wonder, why do we have all these axe heads floating? Or why do we have all these axe heads sinking in the bottom of the river? So I ask you, church, as we get ready to close, what problems do you have that you're trying to fix all by yourself? What problems do you have that you're facing in life that you're trying to fix all by yourself? This man couldn't find his axe head. He couldn't go get it. And you know what? I don't think you can get your axe head either. How long is it going to take you just to go to God and just to ask him and say, God, this is me, Alva. I've got this problem, Lord. I know in the past I've given you a million ways to fix it, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to learn from this man. I'm just going to say, God, I got a problem and I need help. And then I'm going to trust you to do what's right. Alva has a problem. She's got a man in her life that she loves to pieces. His name is Donnie. Brother. Alva would be willing to give up, I would guess, just about anything she has in her life to see her brother accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Is that true, Miss Alva? Miss Alva's tried. Her family has tried. But it comes down to an individual relationship. Miss Alva's been swimming in that river for a long time. You found anything yet? Nope. Maybe it's time that we just come up and say, God, here's this problem. Here's this family member that I love that's lost. I don't know what to do, God, so I'm just asking you. I'm bringing you my problem, Lord. Help me. It's not about how big your problems is. It's about how big your God is. Amen. He created the whole world. He has power over the physical laws of nature and anything else he wants. If he can make donkeys talk and people walk on water, why can't he solve the problem that you have? Maybe it's because you haven't let go of the problem and you've been trying to solve it yourself. Maybe it goes back to what it says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon me. Maybe you haven't really been doing that. You've been stressed out, you've been miserable, you can't get any sleep because you're trying to solve everything. You haven't just tried to lay it at their Savior's feet. There comes a time in our life where we got to stop trying to save those sinking axe heads. Bless you. So as we come today, won't you come and bring your problems? Bring them all. Every problem, regardless how big or how little it is, come to the altars today and say, God, I got this problem and I need your help. And that's it. Don't give him solutions. He's God. He's got plenty of solutions. Just tell him you got this problem and you need help, and watch the Lord work in your life just like he did in this man's life. Just like he used Elijah, just like he used this man in his axe head, he can do that same very thing for you. He's worthy. He's waiting. And all we need to do is give him those prayers. He wants to hear from us. He wants to help you with your problems. But what he wants you to do is realize that you can't do it on yourself. You need him. That's what he wants me to realize too. So let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, as you're talking to our hearts today, Lord, what problems are we trying to solve on our own? What axe heads have flown off our axe handle? And God, we're just sitting there swinging that axe handle, and we're not cutting down anything. We look kind of foolish, Lord. What is it going to take for us to come to you with this problem and just ask you for help? Maybe you're in a situation today where the Lord has already given you the solution to your problem. That axe head is already floating. All you got to do is, like this man, is reach out there and grab it. That blessing is there for you to realize. But you've just been too scared, too chicken to get out there and do it. Maybe God has answered that prayer in your life. Maybe you said, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my life. Lead me in that direction. Show me that way. God has shown you that way, but you're too afraid to pick that axe handle up. Folks, it's time that we have faith. It's time that we trust. God can solve every one of our problems. He could take every one of those accents and float them back up. But you know what? You're going to have to do something too, because he wants a relationship with you. Our relationship has to be two-way. God's not a magic genie you just ask and receive by doing nothing. No, he wants you to come and give him your request, and he wants to grant it to you. He loves you. So today, let today be the day where you stop drowning in the river and you float to the top and just ask God, Lord, here's my problem. Won't you hear my request and answer me? If there's anybody here today that is struggling with a problem that you've been trying to solve on your own, I ask you from the bottom of my heart to test the scripture. I tell you to take this promise, to take this scripture and apply it to your life. Come out here today boldly. Lay it down at the altar. Say, God, I got this problem. I need your help. Listen for his voice. And then get up and leave and watch God work in your life. Test him. God will honor his word.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told
since you